Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
It's learning to disarm that selfish heart that says, I deserve this, and saying, you know what? I'm going to be selfless.
That was John Zimmer, missionary to the island of Palau, and our guest speaker for today's edition of Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these lessons from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, John Zimmer turns to Philippians chapter 2 and helps us catch a glimpse of the heart of Jesus.
Philippians 2 really was a key passage of Scripture that God used in my life, and it continues to use, sort of whittling away the rough edges in my life that really block God's Word to go forth with power in my life, in the lives of others around me. Because without Philippians 2, without that attitude that is present in this passage, you can say all the right things, but without this particular attitude, this way of life, it's like the words come out, but people can't hear what you're saying because your life doesn't match your words. Philippians 2 was just a really powerful passage for me, especially as we were entering into Palau and learning a new culture and a new way of life. And so I just wanted to share a little bit from this passage and encourage each of us to have a heart like Jesus, to have the attitude of Christ, so that our words really will have power. So that when we speak the truth from the Word, there is actual strength behind the words. Philippians chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. The first principle that really jumps out at me in this text is found in verse 3. And the principle is that we must disarm our selfish heart by replacing it with a selfless heart. I'm convinced that so many marriages could be brought back into wonderful harmony if this principle was practiced. So many issues in a church could be brought to nothing and resolved and completed if this principle was practiced. And it is a difficult principle, but it is so important for us. In a book called The Cross-Cultural Connections by Duane Elmer, the man makes reference to the story of the Good Samaritan. And in that story, you know the story. There's the characters in there, the robbers, and the priest, and the Levite, and the Samaritan. And the robbers, their philosophy of life, this man was pointing to, he said, their philosophy was, what is yours is mine if I can take it from you. The priest and the Levite's philosophy was, what is mine, and I have a right to keep it. And then the Samaritan's philosophy was, what is yours is mine if you have need of it. That's good. Randy Alcorn, in his book, The Treasure Principle, said, God owns everything. I'm his money manager. That is a great philosophy. Let me teach you a little bit of Palauan, okay? First of all, the word kloklek, it's spelled K-L-O-K-L-E-K. And you say kloklek. Let's try that together. Kloklek. Good. You said my stuff. All right? Now I'm going to teach you another word. It's the same word, only we end it with the letter M. So you say kloklem. Let's try that together. Kloklem. Okay, that's your stuff. Let me teach you one more. It's the same word with the ending, the letter D. And in Palau, we say the letter D many times with a hard TH, almost like you would say the. So we say kloklev. Let's try that together. Kloklev. Okay, that's our stuff. All right. Now, what's interesting is that in America, we look a lot at what is ours, and it's ours, kloklek. But when you come to And it's probably the way, I've only been to Palau and I've been to Yap once, actually twice, and it's not enough time to really understand more of how they view things. But in Palau, they view most everything that you own and they own as cloclethe. And for an American, that's kind of awkward. Do you know what I'm saying? It's difficult for an American to sort of comprehend that. But what I learned very quickly is that things are tools. They're tools to advance the gospel. And what I have is because God has given it to me. And if I can use what I have to advance the name of Jesus, I'm going to do it. And so it was a shift from what is mine and the sort of my cultural way of being brought up in. And it wasn't a bad thing. It's just the way we were brought up in America. But out here, looking at your things differently is really huge to open the door for the gospel to be given. It's a selfless way of looking at things, even time. You know, when we first came to Palau, they called me Cecil Yolt, which means Mr. Typhoon, because I would go and I would go here and there, and I was always in a hurry and sort of geared to get the job done quickly. And we'd sit and we'd talk, and when the conversation ended and I felt like there was nothing else being said, it was time for me to go. So I'd get up and I'd go. And I didn't realize, though, that's not the way they do it there. When you finish talking and you're just sitting there and you're staring at the coconut tree, you're bonding. And I didn't realize that. So after a while, I started catching on and I realized that this was like the way that I can get to know these guys better. You just stare at the tree. And after a while, you start talking about stuff and deeper things come up. So they actually gave me a new name. They called me Ngira Ongelwatala, which means like Mr. Breezy Place, like a summer house where it's pleasant to sit and you can enjoy company. So it was an interesting thing. The point that I learned through this is that it's this disarming that selfish heart that says, I've got to have things done my way, and replacing it with a selfless heart. Boy, this is really difficult when you're at home and you want something your way. Maybe you come home, men, after a long day and you're tired and you just want a little peace and quiet. It's learning to disarm that selfish heart that says, I deserve this, and saying, you know what? I'm going to be selfless. I've got little children that want to spend time with daddy. I have a wife that's been spending hours with little children and is about to lose her mind, and she wants to talk. It's learning to be selfless. If that principle is brought into the home, or it's brought into even your neighborhood, people start wanting what you have, because it's that selfless, Christ-like attitude that really shouts the gospel. But if I'm always in a hurry with my rigid plan and I'm always so uptight about what I've got to do and my way and how I'm going to do it, guess what? It stiff arms the gospel. The next thing I wanted to point out was found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And here, Paul is pointing out that we need to sort of step it back and take our expectations, those things that we say, I want it done this way, and if it doesn't go this way, then all of a sudden I'm thrown into turmoil and everything else is bad. It's disarming our personal expectations by replacing them with personal gratitude. This is huge. Because how many times if you've done something, you made a presentation, or you've even done some type of ministry, and one thing went bad, or afterwards you had 99 compliments, but there was one critical comment. What do you tend to focus on? The one critical comment, right? You can't get over that. And the reality is that many times expectations that are sort of dashed will control us and make us lose our joy. But what we have to learn is that We can replace those expectations with gratitude in what God is doing. I came across Robinson Crusoe's complaining and thankful list. It was kind of fascinating because he was on an island as well. And he said, I am cast upon a horrible desert island void of all hope of recovery. That's on his complaining side. On his thankful side, he said, that I am alive and not drowned as all of my ship's company was. See, he learned to take the negative and replace it with the positive. He said, I don't have any clothes to cover me. And then he said, but I'm on a hot climate where if I had clothes, I couldn't wear them anyway. He said, I'm without any defense or means to resist any violence of man or beast. He said, but I'm cast on an island where I see no wild beasts to hurt me as I saw on the coast of Africa. What if I'd been shipwrecked there? See, it's taking our thoughts into captivity, as Paul said. It's learning to get control because those negative thoughts will quickly rob you of the joy. And as you go to try to share Christ, or maybe you have shared Christ, and all of a sudden your neighbors or someone you love, you're trying to lead to Jesus, sees you kicking the dirt and frustrated over some little small detail, what happens is the gospel is hindered. And so it's learning to disarm those expectations by replacing it with gratitude. David said it this way, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In the midst of incredible suffering and difficulty, David cried out to God, bless the Lord, O my soul. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. It's learning to replace those things. You know, when in Palau, when we came to building a building, the way of life is so different. For me, my dad's German and taught me, get the job done. Go do it. And so my brothers and I are driven and we'll do things. We like to do it well and do it fast and just be done with it. So when we came to getting ready to build something, we all came together. And in Palau, the elderly man is called the Rubak. And he sits and he's sort of, we all have to respect the Rubak. And when you come to the Rubak, you even kind of, you kind of quietly say, Neil Kebasinge, or you kind of nod a little bit. It's like a little bow. Well, we sat, and we're all sitting around, all the men, and we're talking about this building. And we've already sort of come up with a plan, but we have to sort of let the Rubak come up with it. And it's an interesting way of life, because you sit and he says, I think we should build a building. And And we sit. And then a few minutes later, there's another comment. And it just and it was so different from what my way of doing things. And at first, it was a little bit frustrating getting used to the way of doing life. But then I realized quickly that what's happening is much bigger than just building a building. This is all about building people. And the projects are just projects. But those projects can actually be tools that can help others come to know Christ or grow in their walk with God. So it's perspective and learning to accept those things.
Thank you for listening to today's message with our guest speaker, missionary John Zimmer, on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That information again, Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Our phone number, area code 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website. That's hbcguam.net, where you'll also find information on how to obtain a podcast of today's program. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.